You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Susan Choi's novel American Woman, which was inspired in part by the Patty Hearst case, was a finalist for the Pulitzer Prize in 2004. Now in her latest book, A Person of Interest, she's combined elements of the Wen-Ho Lee accusations and the Unabomber case in a story of alienation seen through the eyes of the troubled professor who becomes a suspect in the bombings. The novel is published by Viking, and I'm very pleased that it has brought Susan Choi back to this show today. It's always a pleasure to see you.
It's great to be back.
The Patty Hearst kidnapping and the Unabomber case, what is it about
Light
that
fair.
Kind of high-profile news story that inspires you?
I want to say it's a coincidence because I feel like those two books came out of very, very different impulses. The Patty Hearst kidnapping, I was admittedly a little bit fixated on it, and so I started growing a novel out of it. The Unabomber thing was more personal. My father was a grad student in the early 60s, and Ted Kaczynski was a classmate of his at the University of Michigan. And I've always had that odd piece of trivia about our family in the back of my mind.
And did he talk about Ted Kaczynski? Did he know him?
He didn't know him well. I mean, his impression was that no one knew him well, but they were in the same doctoral program in mathematics, not a huge program, just sort of a handful of men, as I understand it. So when the Unabomber was arrested and his identity was revealed, my father was pretty thunderstruck, as was I, because we had been following the case together, actually discussing it a lot. And then, you know, there it was, someone he had known.
Well, what connects these two books is that we have these major traumatic events seen through the filter of Asian American characters.
True. The thing about American Woman that originally set me off was I was interested in the Patty Hearst case just in general, and while doing research on it, for no clear purpose, I wasn't planning a novel, I came across this woman named Wendy Yoshimura, a Japanese-American woman who had actually been Patty Hearst's housemate in the days immediately before her arrest. They were both arrested, actually. And so I was fascinated by stumbling across an Asian-American in this narrative that was already familiar to me. And I'd never known that there was this person involved in this very high-profile story. She was a complete footnote to history, and that's why that case started to feel more, you know, more compelling to me personally. With this book, because of this strange personal connection, that character, the character of Professor Lee, was always an Asian American to me. I mean, I never chose to make him Asian American. That's who he was from the ground up.
Although he is Asian American, and we don't know whether he is Korean. Korean is the name Lee is very common in Korea, but there are Chinese Lees
also in
as
China.
Well.
That was a very deliberate decision. I mean, like I say, I knew he was an Asian emigre to this country, but I decided that I really didn't want to specify his nation of origin. It felt to me like unnecessary or distracting information in this context. I wanted him to be a foreign-born American with an emphasis on the second term.
Was what got you started here the thought of what happens when somebody is accused of something and has to try to figure out why and try to live with that kind of accusation?
Very much the latter. It was very much the question of what happens when someone is accused and has to figure out how to live. The very nitty-gritty, everyday, pragmatic details of how to behave when you're under public scrutiny, when you're being accused of something that you didn't do, and yet you still have to go outside and mow your lawn. You have to go to the grocery store and buy a quart of milk. People are seeing your name in the paper and seeing your face on TV. It was that conundrum of how to perform your own innocence that I thought was interesting, because I started realizing that innocence is kind of a performance. You just can't act natural in the situation in which Professor Lee is in, because when he acts natural, he freaks out. I mean, it's an upsetting thing to be accused of a crime you haven't committed. And yet if he acts natural, he seems more and more suspicious.
One reviewer wrote that if Henry James had lived in the age of pulp noirs, he might have wound up writing books a little like this novel.
I loved that.
Well, I'm sure you liked being compared to Henry James more than a pulp novelist. But still, that's what this is about. It's about a man who the impact of this kind of scrutiny on an innocent man. But you have made him a difficult man. We understand why people suspect him.
Right. I mean, again, to go back to your earlier question, I was interested not just in this problem of what do you do when you're falsely accused, but what do you do when you're falsely accused and you happen to be not the most spotless, genial, personality contest winning guy on the block.
Nobody likes him.
Nobody likes him, and yet that doesn't make him a criminal, but it makes it so difficult for him to keep his head above water in this situation because he's, you know, the fact that he doesn't greet his neighbors in a friendly fashion and that he's prickly and that he's got two divorces under his belt doesn't make him a killer.
It makes him Camusian.
Yeah, exactly. It's exactly these very human characteristics of his that lead him to be, you know, seen as a monster by his neighbors. They're very ready to dislike him.
Even after the real bomber is found, the real perpetrator is found, they continue to dislike him.
It's true, but he, towards the end of the book, when the real bomber is found, and Professor Lee is involved in that in a way that I don't really want to give away, his neighbors continue to dislike him, but he's taken on a new, interesting sort of patina in their eyes. They're not sure whether or not he wasn't in some way mixed up in the capture of the bomber, and so he takes on this odd aura.
Well, you tell the story through his eyes, but not in first person, because you want us to wonder whether he may actually be the perpetrator at some point.
I didn't want that to happen, and in early drafts that was happening, and it was a little alarming to me as the writer. I felt like I didn't have my voice entirely under control, and you know, it's an interesting question, first person versus third. I find it very obsessing, and I'm sure no one else does. But
well, every writer who has to find a voice for a novel thinks about it a lot.
Yeah, thinks about it and struggles with it. And the truth is that I wanted this book to be very, very close to Dr. Lee. The book is very interior and stays with his thoughts, you know, for a majority of the time. But first person, I find very confining. I felt really trapped.
We should go back and just give people a sense of what the book is like. It opens with a bomb exploding in the office of a popular professor of computer science next door to Professor Lee's office. He's a math professor.
And he's unpopular professor of mathematics.
But he becomes the person of interest of your title. Person of interest means not really a suspect, but somebody close to a suspect?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a reporter, so I'm sure someone could call in and correct me on this, but my understanding of that term was gleaned from following a bunch of different cases in the late 90s that I'm sure everyone remembers. Wenho Lee, Stephen Hatfill, the anthrax person of interest, Richard Jewell, the Atlanta bombing person of interest.
A shocking number of people who were falsely accused and who had to live through the publicity.
And you know, Richard Jewell's life, I think, was cut short by the publicity. I mean, he died very young. I think that his life was really devastated by this. Eric Rudolph later came forward and copped to that particular crime. But in all of these cases, the authorities weren't able to actually declare these people suspects because they didn't have enough to go on. And so they would call them a person of interest to the press. They would say, you know, this person is a person of interest to our investigation. It has no legal meaning, but it had a very powerful social meaning. It meant that there was a stain of suspicion.
And it's frustrating for the person of interest because it's often impossible to prove a negative.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it carries as much power as the term suspect, but it's not, you can't disprove it.
And as I said earlier, for some people, even though he is shown to be innocent, there's always that feeling where there's smoke, there's fire.
Exactly. And I mean, I think we all have that feeling. You know, I was reading the other day about the British newspapers having to apologize to Madeleine McCann's parents because they had beyond insinuated that those two might be responsible for her disappearance. And, you know, even I, following that story with horror for the parents, couldn't help thinking, well, if the newspapers are saying it, there must be something weird.
Well, Professor Lee also, he compounds the problem. His first reaction to the bombing is, oh, good.
That's right. He doesn't say that out loud, but he compounds the problem of the reader's sympathy with him. And I'm happy to hear that a lot of readers, despite the fact that he's a prickly and difficult person, really felt strongly for this character, because that's the first thing we see him do is express some gladness that this younger colleague who's so popular, everything that he's not, has been damaged.
The FBI agent in charge of the case gives him a polygraph and then tells him it's inconclusive because Asians can't be polygraphed.
Yes.
Did you actually get something like that from law enforcement
people? I did get somebody in law enforcement. I didn't get somebody in law enforcement to say that to me. Believe it or not, someone in law enforcement said that to me entirely unsolicited. This person didn't even know that I was writing a novel about an Asian character. They just knew that I was writing a novel about someone who got polygraphed, and we were discussing the process, and I said, do you think it's reliable? And he said, oh, absolutely. Well, except in the case of some groups. And then he began qualifying his assertion, except in the case of Asians, and then Asians and Middle Easterners, Asians, Middle Easterners, and you'll never believe this, Orthodox Jews. The list started growing and growing, and I'm sure this law enforcement agent wishes he hadn't said that to me.
And did he give you any reason?
The reason he gave me a reason that he theorized, which was that these people, and that's in very large quotes, don't share our same sort of Judeo-Christian consciousness of morality and guilt.
Mm.
And he knew I was Asian American, actually. It was an astounding and fantastic conversation for a novelist.
And there are a lot of Christian Asians.
Oh, yeah.
Well.
Yeah. No, it was such great material. I was so happy. I was just taking notes furiously.
I don't want to go into all the details of the plot because that's part of the fun in reading this book, also watching what happens to Professor Lee. But I wonder what happens to you. The book has gotten great reviews, which puts more pressure on you, doesn't it, to come up with... You've had three very well-received novels so far.
I've been really lucky critically. Yeah, it does add to the pressure. I'm trying sort of not to think of it that way and just be incredibly grateful and happy that the book has been received the way it has because, again, Professor Lee, I think personally that he's very moving and I'm so relieved that readers also find him riveting and sympathetic because he's a tough sell. So the critical response has just been, you know, icing.
And where do you go from here? I mean, we have the Iraq War. You're going to...
all sorts of other light subjects.
Somebody in the White House who got involved with the start of the Iraq War?
I don't actually have a particular... there are a number of clusters of ideas that I'm interested in. You know, I want to write something light, Leonard. I'm not really sure.
A comedy from Susan Troy.
I'm a very funny person. I want the world to know this. So maybe I'll head in that direction.
Meanwhile, we have this very fabulous novel called A Person of Interest. It's published by Viking, and my great thanks to Susan Troy for coming by again.
Oh, thanks for having me.